morning, councillor. We've got a reasonable agenda today. There's a few things that will probably take some time. Can you hear me, councillor Cassidy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The members of the leading members of the public, the council meeting, will include closed sessions, audio recording and published on council's website. I acknowledge that tradition one is in place, but mainly now we can please the public and the people. Who do we have present? Deputy Mayor Orite, councillor Bowden, councillor Honour, councillor Cassidy, councillor Bailey, councillor Cassidy. Is there any apologies?
Anthony told me that you'd be coming.
Anthony just tried to ring me.
There's no apologies to me, so I've just got a message to say to you, Paul, for my mind. Okay, so we've got two councillors not here tonight. Pecuniary interest declarations. In accordance with Regulation 87 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the Mayor requests councillors to indicate whether they or a close associate have or are likely to have pecuniary interest. Any pecuniary or pecuniary detriment or conflict of interest in any item of the agenda. Do I have any? Councillor Campbell?
It's not a conflict because we won't be voting on it, but in the DES report there's a mention of DA 2021-0042, the Telstra Tower at Hollow Tree Road, that is on our land and we receive a lease payment for that, but we haven't had to vote on it, but I think Graham's approved it.
So I've heard that you're really warm. Okay, that's
the
Hollow Tree Road. Any others?
Councillor Honour. 7.9 Anchorage from Parish of Hall Community Grant Application. I'm on the committee for that group.
What group is that?
The Anglican Parish of Bothwell.
Anglican Parish of Bothwell.
17.9.
Is there any other declarations? Yes, no? Very good. Okay, closed session of the meeting. Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015 states that in a meeting, a council by absolute majority or a council committee by simple majority may close a part of the meeting to the public for a reason specified in sub-regulation 2, as per Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015. This motion requires an absolute majority. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. Or against? Okay, so we'll go into our closed agenda. I open the meeting to the public. Due to COVID-19, limited four members of the public at any one time will be required. We have some deputations today, one with Elaine Kelly and one with Laura Live and Well. Elaine was at the door, I thought. Is she there, Alan, please? Everybody here? Is she done? Good morning, Elaine. We have a seat waiting for you. Oh, what's this?
Yeah.
Oh, this is boring. Now I can.
I've only got 10 though. I don't know how many there were. Some have pictures, some don't.
Oh, which
pictures? No pictures. I'll talk about that in a minute, that'd be a word now.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, you missed share for the meeting. You didn't have a bit of that, but you share with the time shortly. So, yeah, but actually,
I've got a spare one. So, what we're going to speak to is a proposed community development notice board. She's done her own work, she's got a mud map, and it's for the Hamilton Township. And would you like to take over?
Oh, I sure would. Okay. Well, what I've got is, as cited by Lorraine, is I've noticed that every time I go down the street, well, I bring it in and I still maintain it, I find all around the place notices from the community. They haven't got a central place to put it. There are notice boards. They were put in by a previous community development officer at the town, but they were for tourists and they're down in the campgrounds. I'm sorry if you have hearing in the end.
Can you hear that?
Can you hear me?
No, yeah.
Was I talking loud enough?
No.
No?
No, that's all good.
Okay, sorry. I shall now. As I said, I'll repeat what I said. I have noticed going down to the light to the community garden, thank you, that there's notices being placed up all around the place. There's no centralised community site for such things. I'm tired. The photographs I've presented to you by some of you, give an example. This is just before the election day. So on the bench there, an old box of electioneering paraphernalia. On the side of the post boxes, there's various notices, and that seems to be a popular spot. I've even found them sitting on the door, which has very little windows on the street, but which is what the other photographs are about. So they're just everywhere. They're often not even taking them. I tend to remove them, in fact, for some reasons. And it's just that it seems to me that we need to have a community notice board where everybody goes. That's the central site that we proposed. I've talked to a landowner, and he's quite happy. In fact, he did the actual standard plan. That's how he'd like to see it as a finished, neat and tidy region. So he still wants to have a seat in here. He says all these people are coming down and reading down there. I'm not seeing anything from anyone. I'm not sure that they do. We do, because I am in an hourly quite big, we do actually see a lot of people stopping there and picking up in the mailbox, still going to the post office. Hence, for that site is identified. I didn't originally pick a site because I thought it would be after all the great names and men for the library. And it was identified by somebody on the right hand side here and spoke and broached the grounds. And I asked the landowner if he would, what I was about to propose, he was very happy. And he said, no. If you're running, if you're pushing it, I'm all in. So we have support. I have been involved with people from the community, advising them that I was going to request this. I haven't had a single negative response. I mean, I could have gone with a big paper and people signing names on it. Didn't. I thought that was going to look pretty much. It's just the reason I see we've got a gap in that we can improve. And purely and simply community development.
Very good. Thank you. I'll open it up for discussion. Councillor Cassidy and then Councillor
Borai. Yes, Elaine. You put a lot of hard work into this, I can see, and thanks a lot for the photos. They're each worth 1,000 words, so there's 2,000 there.
Yeah, that's why I thought that would be better to demonstrate.
I wanted to ask, though, the board, what materials are you going to construct this of?
I wasn't going to construct it. I thought probably the council. There are obviously council requirements and specifications, and I'm not aware of, and I would like it to be council driven.
So then, maybe Lynn, Graham, they should be involved. Is there any heritage issues at all there, Lynn?
No, there is these old stable blocks at the rear of the home there. And we don't foresee that to be a problem because it's already
developed
there.
I think it's quite good.
It doesn't need an overhang. That's an overhang, so it's protected from the weather.
Perhaps there could be a map for the central highlands or something like that there as well.
Well, there is a map already down in the tourist section in Canton.
All right.
A large map that's gone
through
that
plant. What's going to protect the notices and things that are placed there from being blown away or getting wet?
Well, that's what the overhangs are about, having that overhang protection, getting rid of protection, and for public people going there to take them.
That's great. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor
Laura. Yes, Mr. Earlier. Yeah, I think it's great on
you. Get out of here.
We've got some formality here. But anyway, Eleanor is free, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Is there a way you could probably, let's say, work with Katrina and do it yourself? That'd be a lot more efficient and quicker and easier than the
council. I'm not doing it.
No. Get a community grant and get someone to do it. Would that be quicker and easier than going through the council system?
I'm not sure on that one, whether it would be
you wait until it gets bogged down in the council system, that someone's got to design it, someone's got to do this, someone's got to talk to the manager, someone else has got to do something. That's what the public system is.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the ones at Elmdale, they just built them themselves, got a community grant, and it was a lot quicker and more efficient. Anyway, that's just food for thought.
I think the main is also just seeking our advice and the requirements for
the council could give you some guidance or something.
And they're already committed to doing the wheelchair access ramp. And they've done the preparation of the platform for a wheelchair for each of them. They've now been advised they'll be doing the ramp as well.
They'll be doing
and I think that they're actually occupied with that. I mean, once a week is not a lot of time.
So I think
they're actually committed.
Anyway, just food for thought because Tom Graham found it. Carpenter or Lynn found carpenter.
I think the first thing is that it needs to be given to Rona to find out what requirements from the planning and building perspective. So who really sizes them?
Well, that's why I didn't specify. I wasn't sure what the requirements were. Hence, I haven't done that. I could actually involve the owner of the lounge and talk about the sizing of the board that he would suggest. But that would not necessarily follow your guidelines.
Yes. So,
hence why I haven't done
it. It is probably a
problem. Councillor Ford, thank you for waiting.
That's fine. I don't think there's going to be a lot of expense in this. What I would suggest is that Graham looks at it, works out what it costs, advises the delay, and then if the delay would like to come back to council and ask for community grant, I'm sure that we would be more than happy to arrange that to be done.
Okay. Any other comments, Councillor?
It's an application to community
grant. Yes. We give a lot of those out, so. And that's the purpose.
There's not much on it because I don't have the specifications.
No. Work with Graham, get the specifications, and find a carpenter and get a community grant. That's the quickest. Yep. Well done.
Specifications needed from Brian for that.
So do we need a motion to have Brian?
Have the dollar figure.
No, that's what we're after. From Brian to see what size.
But do you want to hold on to this until you get the dollar figure from
Brian? Well, I won't get the dollar figure as yet because I don't
have that. Yeah, I'll get it from Brian. Yeah, because I mean, we need to know what dollars we're applying for.
Through Brian. And you will say you don't have Brian. Yes. Alright, so who holds this? Otherwise, we're chasing each other around for a long time.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's very, very good. And we've got a whole lot of
them. I can't help but retire me when I do a sequence.
Yeah, well, the ladies are under the instigated book library, which is very popular, very good,
and keeps me quite busy.
And keeps you very busy.
And I have quite a lot of donations of books to me, which is lovely.
We're all done in that way. Very much. Well, thank you so much for that. And
I shall have that for us.
Yes,
lovely.
Very good. Thank you, everybody. That's great, though. Do you want your photos back? Or
no, not really. No, I'm sure. It was only 1 second, you know, so I kept that as I did.
I don't understand what you mean by that high end. What do you mean there?
Okay, so we get a lot of referrals from the hospitals of people that are suicidal in the moment in a crisis. We're not funded to do that. The government actually told us we're not to be playing in that field because we are not counsellors, we're not psychologists, we're not social workers. So that is not what RAW is actually funded for. We do realise that some of the people that we work with can have the potential to go there and we can put things in place to support them. But our new referrals is we're not taking people that are currently in a crisis or support other agencies to help that person, but that's not what we're actually funded to do.
So what are you funded to do? I thought that was your role.
No, our role is community engagement, referral pathway. In our role. It's got a bit murky over the years because we've been kicked from bucket to bucket trying to fill gaps from the government, and we know that the government's instructed us that's not what we're funded to do, that's what the social workers within the community, that's what the CAT team is meant to be doing, and unfortunately our health services, sort of our crisis and our health departments have sort of sucked raw into to do that. So we're about early intervention and education and referral pathways.
Early intervention.
Yep. So, yep. Councillor Bowden, yes.
Oh, sorry. If not, we've had a few instances over the years where we've had something major go wrong with somebody's private life or whatever, and they've been seriously at risk, and they've run Roar, I think, and Roar's come and done a good job. So who do we ring now?
You still ring Roar. If we can't do that intervention, we will find somebody that can. So please don't not contact us, because there's things we can put in place to ensure that person gets appropriate support. And that could be just getting them to the GP, getting the mental health plan put in place. It could be general conversations with people, because sometimes people just need to have that conversation about what's going on in life. We can put things in place to support them moving forward, make sure that they don't get to that crisis end. So we see ourselves as a bit of a tool in a toolbox that people can utilise.
And Christy, if someone has been through a crisis and say they've been to the Royal or something, when they come out, are you supported? Do you have a role there when they come home?
It's case by case. And what we're trying not to do is over-service, because some people that do come back from the Royal have multiple agencies already involved, and we don't want to be over-servicing those people because they already have the help there. We want to get to those people that have never seeked help before.
Okay.
They're living on the land in a rural community. That's what we're planning to do. About the preventative, where to go to get help.
Okay.
In the past, women were largely excluded early in the program.
Yep.
Is that still the case?
Oh no, we work with everybody from the age of 14 and up. We're actually going through a whole rebranding system. Our new logos actually have a female on our logos. We had the man and the female. When we were funded, we were to work with men, but now it's a holistic. We work with women, men, the whole community.
So there is a positive to come out of this. It sounds to me as though the bureaucracy's got in the middle of the process.
It has, but we've also got to be mindful of what we're capable of doing, and we have before employed social workers, psychologists, and to be honest, they don't work most of the times in our community and what our community needs. Our community, what we're hearing, what's coming back to us, they want somebody that can hold a conversation, know a little bit about the land, and to be able to lead them into the next stage.
If there's somebody, you mentioned about suggesting they go to the doctor, for example, in Bothell, the doctor's only there a couple of days a week.
Yep.
And a lot of the time these people, it's after work or whatever, they need to talk to someone or who knows what time. Who does that? If you can't, you would talk to them, and then who do you get to take over and do that sort of role?
So there's an online platform where you can have sites to you that you can do through Zoom. I can't remember the name of it. There's a program that you can actually sit in your comfort of your home and have a psychological appointment and assessment there.
Nobody will actually go and see them.
No. We do still have our 24/7 phone number that somebody can ring and get support after hours. But unfortunately, we're no longer allowed to get in our cars after hours, and we can put things in place to ensure.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That's extraordinary. Who do we lobby about that rubbish?
It's a lot of insurance stuff, that liabilities that we need to be.
Mental health isn't 9 to 5.
Sorry?
Mental health isn't 9 to 5.
Oh, absolutely not. That's why we have our 24/7 phone number. But we also acknowledge that Lifeline is a funded organisation. That number is not funded by the government. That's something that RAW does, where Lifeline and suicide callback numbers are actually funded to provide.
Who are putting these constraints on you? Where's that coming from? Is it the health department? Is it the minister's office? Who's putting these foolish constraints on community outcomes?
To be honest, I can't tell you that.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Right.
Yep.
It's bullshit, really, to be frank. You know, you can't turn up outside workouts.
We can have appointments with our clients, but if somebody's in crisis...
Absolutely, which is what your role should be.
Yeah, our a lot of our workers don't work 9 to 5. A lot of them are on the road at 6:30, they don't get home till 7 o'clock, 7:30. It depends on the client's need, we can meet them at any time. We do have that capacity, it's not a 9 to 5 organisation.
But if you get a phone call at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock, no one's been on the roll, down in the mouth, can you respond? Can you come and see them?
No, we wouldn't respond in person because there's a safety risk and that's what the emergency services are for.
But you can put the emergency services in contact.
We can just contact the emergency services. We have concern for welfare,
yeah,
and we would arrange a welfare check for that person.
Is this an appropriate time to ask you about the blue farmer outside of...
If everybody else has finished asking any questions. If anybody else has finished asking questions about law, that's fine, because I do have some information.
Well, I thought that was a raw project.
It was not a raw project.
Oh, really?
No, so I've actually spoke to Gretcher, the artist. So it was a community arts project, and it was actually commissioned by the Waffle Spinning. I sent the Waffle Spinning an email to ask them if they would be able to keep the maintenance of the blue farmer. I haven't got a response from them yet, but I am following that up. It was not. Well, it was just a same as the school. We sat along and helped support it. It was actually commissioned by the Waffle Spinning.
Any other questions?
So, I just want to ask you about Anthony's question. Again, just to press a little bit, you personally do not know who has come down and stepped on your neck or stolen your thunder from government. Was it somebody in the state?
To be honest, I think it's actually looking at what law is capable of doing and playing in our own sand and trying to do things that we don't have the means to be able to do. And I think that may come from the committee that sits above us and fed down through to what we're funded to do in the government.
Do you have a constitution or anything like that?
Yep.
So council can write to your overseeing committee and express grave concern about the change in direction.
One of the things that I know Roy's done in the past is done some community education programs. Is that something that you were talking about doing again?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So we've actually working with the Waffle Football Club, and we're holding an event, and the reason it's held at Waffle was coming on the back of the Lincoln event that we had. We thought it's time to do something there. So we've actually, from the donation, the gift that council has given us, the $2,000, we've put this into this event in Tom Russell, come and do a talk at the Waffle Football Club, and that will be open to all of the community. And while Toddy, they're doing the talk, Raw will also do a talk on mental health. We're also in the process of doing toolbox talks in Shurinjet. So we're Gus, Andrew Dean, I don't know if you've heard of him, our operations manager.
He would require 3:730, though, wouldn't it?
Which one?
Shurinjet.
Yes. So we're looking at talking to each individual farm, and what we'll be going around and we'll be doing mental health talks, offering mental health first aid. We're also looking at having another company come in to talk about safety, workplace safety, and also first aid. So it's going to be a whole package that's going to be put together to farmers, but we're still just trying to tidy that all up and to make sure that it's beneficial to everybody and affordable to everybody as well. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
And the thing I just like, we can only do what we can do, and we can only support people that we know. So please, if you're concerned, let us know. We'll work with you as much as we can. Currently, we have 32 clients in the Central Highlands, across the Central Highlands, that we are supporting. And more than happy to give you updates on where that is moving forward. More than happy to give you updates on how many toolbox sessions and that we hold in the community. We do get a lot of criticism of you're not doing this, you're not doing that, but there's a lot of things we can't say that we are doing and people that we are supporting, and unfortunately we can't support everybody. If we don't know, then we can't help. But we really do appreciate the support of the council.
Thank you so much.
How do you get funding?
So we've got funding from both state and federal. But we also don't, that doesn't fund our whole program. So we have a committee now that is set up just to do our fundraising to help fill the gaps to ensure that we can still continue our program across the state. Because there's only 10 workers across the state. So I know people think, oh, you know, statewide program, but when you limit it to only 10 people, it's not a very good program.
Mm. So good cause.
So because we also support Flinders Island, King Island, we go down as far as Bruni, King, Cockle Creek, but we're just staying out of those metro areas. Our fine numbers that can support those in the metropolitan area, but our focus is the rural and remote communities.
And for those councillors that might be aware of, during the fire season, the bad fire seasons, Christine was at the evacuation centre daily, and when she wasn't there, there was another rep from Rural Life and Well. They played a massive part whilst the fire season was on, and I thank you for that because I know how much you work.
Thank you. And for any farmers that are here today, that, you know, we are mindful of biosecurity risks, so we used to just drive onto people's farms. Had a bit of issue about farmers, some farmers saying us to go away because of the biosecurity risk, which we understand and appreciate. But if anybody here today would like Rob to come and have a conversation or leave some business cards and send me an email or give me a call. We're also looking at doing some events targeted for females as well, so some painting events, which are going to be pilot projects. We're just working around the funding where we're going to have in each municipality a mental health talk and some people can do some painting or depending on each individual community. So we're starting once we get our four new staff, that's their role to go out in the community and see what the actual community wants, because we don't want to say you need to do this painting if you're not a painting community, or you know, you need to have this talk here if it's not appropriate.
Yes, my last bite at this. You'd probably be aware that it's not just farmers who suffer from depression, suicidal thoughts. As a matter of fact, in Malcolm Turnbull's book, Bigger Picture, he, as much money as he has, as nicely dressed as he is, and as powerful as he is, this man himself admitted that he had suicidal thoughts at a couple of points there in his political career or coming up through the ranks. So it can affect everybody, not just farmers.
Absolutely. And we're just mindful that our funding is for rural and remote communities. You don't have to be a farmer to work with rural. As long as you live within our rural communities, we can support people. And I know we also have some other pipelines for our youth that we're actually, well, not only for our youth, but for our community, having drive instructors come up into the community and do some driving lessons. So we're in the pipeline of getting that also happening, because as we know, we've got our youth, but there's also some older people that are wanting to learn to drive and don't have people to sit beside them to get their hours. So that's something else that we're looking at supporting. And that's come from Tribunna, because there's a lot of communities over there with the seafood industry being impacted and families are out at sea and they've got nobody to sit next to the kids to get their hours up. So that's another little project that we've got in the pipeline.
Very good. Alrighty, well thank you so much for coming along, and Alan as well, and good luck with
Hello, good morning. Thanks for having me.
He'll be still around for a while, because yeah. Still applications don't close till the end of the week, and if you know of anybody, please contact Andrew Dean at RAW. You don't, as I said, you don't have to have a mental health training background, we can train that. If you know how to talk and hold a conversation with somebody on the property, that's the people that we want.
Has that been advertised, like in the Digest?
I believe it was through Tech Country and stuff, so I'm not sure if they did actually make the Digest, because it was on social media We are looking at having a more presence in the Highlands Digest, so
yes,
that will be. That is. So we were going to do a big introduction of Alan, but we'll just hold on that because there's no use in introducing anything. that area.
And when your new has come along, perhaps you'd like to come along again and
absolutely
and keep in touch with us.
Yep,
it's very important.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for the time. And I'll leave a few of the cards. So if anybody does have anything, thank you. Please pass
no,
on.
No,
oh, thank you.
Yes. Okay. Let's continue on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll have your question time. There's no one in the gallery. So that's okay. Number 8 is general commitments. Number 8.1 is council commitments. It's really good to see how the councillors are putting in their commitments. It's very important to put commitments in. Status report, councillors.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes, I just want to make an amendment to the commitments there on page 4, whoever prepared them. I physically was not at the Gretna Church. I went previously some months or maybe a year or more before, so if that could be removed or corrected.
But you actually did an onsite.
I actually did, but it was...
That's okay.
Well, in the past.
Yes.
I just want to correct the record, that's all.
Do you know the date of the onsite?
I would have to check the metadata with the exit file on the photo.
Okay. If you just check that and get back to probably
Jennifer.
All right.
Good.
8.2 general manager's commitments. 9. Notification of council workshops held. 27th of April 2021 was a council workshop. There was a planning and management, there was a climate change strategy. And on the 12th of May is the council budget workshop in Hamilton. Was. And future workshops will be a council budget workshop on the 25th of May at the Hamilton Hall 10:30. Now, I must say to those councillors that did not make the last budget meeting, we will not be taking questions that have already been discussed through the budget. The councillors sat there and did this for quite some time. We will be picking up where we left off, and that is it. Any other questions you may be concerned with that, you'll need to ring the council office and speak to David. 10 is mayoral announcements. An update on the Shannon River. Now, that goes back just a long time ago, but we did have a letter that came to myself and councillors from Jeff Glover. You would have got a copy of that. With his concerns about the Shannon River, the Shannon Bridge. And then there was a letter to Michael Ferguson from myself that was in a certain behalf of council and our ratepayers and residents. I would like to raise a matter of a safety issue on Highlands Lake Road at Moana. The Shannon River Bridge is a single lane bridge on the Highland Lake Road approach to the settlement of Moana and the Great Lake. The bridge was a giveaway sign. The bridge has a giveaway sign at the southern end. This area is prone to heavy fog, which reduces visibility to motorists from one end of the bridge to the other. Council has received notification of many near misses, both during periods of fog and by motorists failing to give way at other times. There is also a daily school bus service from Miami to Bothell, and these children's lives are put at risk. With an increased traffic flow as a result of the sealing of the Highland Lakes Road, increased vehicle usage during the fishing season, and an increase in permanent residents in the area, it is essential that this safety issue be addressed. Council is seeking the government's commitment to replacement of the Shannon River Bridge with a new two-lane bridge as a matter of urgency to alleviate this dangerous situation. In the interim, measures such as flashing giveaway sign or larger giveaway signs on the southern approach, replacement of the narrow defaced bridge signs, repainting of the line markings, and a warning on the northern approach to be aware of approaching traffic unnecessary. I have enclosed a copy of a letter from Mr. and Mrs. Quigley outlining their concerns with safety issues with respect to the bridge. Minister, I would welcome an on-site meeting with you and representatives from the Department of State Growth, your state people arranged with me. So, then, dear Minister, as advised yesterday, Council written to Minister Ferguson, re-engine upgrades needed to the January region. I am, as requested, I've attached a copy of this correspondence to seek your support and assistance in having this matter addressed as a matter of urgency. Thank you, regards, Lynn Miles, General Manager. So that was followed up with that letter that went to Guy Barnett as well. That was about as much as I had on
that. Did either one get back to you, ma'am?
We haven't had any more of you. Remember Guy Barnett came in here and I mentioned to him as well, again? And so did you, did you come?
Yes, I did.
So we need to perhaps follow up on that a little. The other mayoral announcement that I'd like to share is that with the Liberal government securing their position, I have a letter from Minister Guthrie, the Premier. Dear Mayor, I'm pleased to provide you with a summary of announced policy initiatives on behalf of all Liberal members and candidates that will benefit your local government area. I wish to point out to Council that up to $50 million in funds remain available under the Local Government Loans Program that was announced last year as an economic stimulus measure in response to COVID-19. Councils are welcome to make applications for funding for priority projects. Specific commitments for the Central Island region include deliver up to 250 construction jobs and invest $700 million into the redevelopment of the Tararea Power Station, make permanent replacement of two paramedics for Lyanna, $6.3 million anti-bullying measures in secondary schools by making students' classrooms safer, including at Boos District School, $2 million investment to Boswell District School to upgrade and consolidate agricultural facilities, create a new local jobs hub in Brighton, which will cover the Central Highlands, $150,000 towards upgrades at Orange Hill Peak area. So we do have that commitment there, which we need to...
Sound like a lot of words to me.
Well, we just keep preparing up to date with how we're progressing all this. So we need to just keep an eye on things, I wish we move along. 11.1 receivables draft minutes of the ordinary meeting held on the 20th of April 2021 we received Councillor Connor, Councillor Campbell, first four, is there any against? It is carried.
Just a quick question, may I? Was the Gutman's letter included in our agenda? I couldn't see.
In our in the attachment?
No.
Was it on included?
No, and neither was the other letter.
Would you mind perhaps forwarding the Gutman letter in particular on to councillors?
I haven't got the original, it must be on file. I haven't got this.
Well, that's all right. And the other one about the Shannon Bridge, there was no copy of that in the attachment.
I think that was sent through in during May, wasn't it, councillor?
No, it's in terms of Hamilton.
So you know, like, yeah, you can have, I thought you had copies, to be
honest. I thought we had an email from Guy Barney from Castle Hill Group, came through our written.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't notice.
Yeah, I didn't. We should have. Anyway, anything you haven't got, obviously we'll go by.
Thank you. just good to have in the back of our minds. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. 11.2, confirmation of minutes of the meeting, minutes of the open council meeting, held on the 20th of April 2021, to be confirmed in the first place. Councillor Bailey, seconded. Councillor Pine, votes for. Against, carried. 12, business arising. 13, Earl Catchment Project Report, Hoover Place. Bailey, Councillor Bailey, seconder. Councillor Aura. Those four against, carried. After discussion. Anything on that report? We have the weed management program. Best practice, restoration and conservation.
Chelsea's going to go away and do something for us, I can't think what it was.
That's biosecurity.
Biosecurity stuff, was it?
Yeah.
She needed two council meetings to do it.
Yeah, climate change, that's right. Yeah.
So the first sentence of she was tasked with finding someone to do a commission's order, but there was no one around. She was looking at it. That's what it's different to this. And by security, we had a meeting, when was that, last week or something?
So, any questions on the NRM report? We'll do it again. No? We'll move into the financial report. And move it, please. Councillor Hunter. Second up. Councillor Cattigliere. Four. Again. Carried. You go on from the finance report.
I see. Okay, finance report. Questions, I'm assuming everyone sent their questions to me. No questions.
Oh, yes, sir.
Ken, Jim,
I'm sorry. Can you confirm to me just from, let's see, 2020 to 2021? Is that April 2020 to April 2021?
You're talking about the rates.
So in that 12-month period, you only raised, let's say, $20,979 in rates. I'm asking, the rates that you raised in that period was $20,979. That's the difference between those two figures, 2020 to 2021.
Yeah, it was total raise. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
No more questions. I'd just like to get councillors to note, council has $6.5 million, bearing no interest, just collecting dust.
Say that again, Jim, please.
I'm just making councillors aware, if you do the overlook there, council has $6.5 million collecting dust, no interest. And the rest is at about 0.3%.
What was that?
Well, what do I know? Or you can't. There's nowhere to park it, and it's got to be in a AAA credit rated institution, and that's the interest rates.
Yeah. I've heard of an instance just for council interest of a business that sold an enterprise of $50 million, approached the Commonwealth Bank to hold the $50 million
and had paid for it.
And the Commonwealth Bank would not accept the fund. We just don't need the banks.
Yeah. All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
On to 15 now. Yeah.
Manager, Graham.
Thank you, Nick.
The
renewal of our dog agreement with the dog's home.
Yes.
It's just a recommendation that the general manager be authorised to sign that agreement for 3 years. Actually noting that it's gone down from what it was before. So.
Good.
Mm.
Councillor Bailey, recommendation that the council, that the general manager be authorised to sign the acceptance of dog's agreement for a 3 year period commencing 1st of July, moved by Councillor Bailey, seconded by Councillor Ford. Those four, and Councillor is carried. 15.2
amendment to Southland,
that's
mainly regional
language.
Once again, seems to be becoming quite familiar to every council meeting is the expansion of the town boundaries again, this time down at Signet. So this is more heading towards rural areas this time, not the bigger ones. So
it doesn't apply to the Central Island?
Obviously not, but we want to stay on the good side of all councils, I would imagine. So it would be to recommend to move to not object to it and support that one.
So the recommendation of the council supports the request to amend the Southern Tasmanian regional boundary strategy by including the following footnote on Table 3 Growth Management Strategy for Settlements. For the Signet Township, the growth strategy does not preclude residential growth through rezoning of existing urban land within the established settlement boundaries, if supported by a residential land supply and demand data and analysis from a suitably qualified person, may have a further place. Councillor Orr, second Councillor Campbell, four, against that is carried. Thank you, Graham. 15.3 Development
and
Environmental Services and Charges Register.
So these are our charges that hopefully the council's had a look at. We haven't made any changes. Bev's had a look at hers. Dog registration remains the same. So if the councillors are happy with that.
Councillor, I have something to say first.
Oh, just thanks, Mayor. Well, I'm not too fussed. I mean, if you think those figures will cover the cost of doing it, I mean, we didn't have an increase last year, and we're not having an increase next year.
Look, we're happy to go with it at the moment. I mean, if you do increase even by CPI, it's very
that type
of thing, so we're prepared to carry that one.
Need to have this discussion every 2 years, but maybe next couple of years might be 1 month, 5 months.
Correct.
Yeah. And this is probably to do with COVID as well, isn't it? Okay, the recommendation is pursuant to section 205 of Local Government Act 1993, council resolved to adopt the Development and Environmental Services Fees and Charges Register 2021-2022 and for it to take effect commencing the 1st of July 2021. Councillor Campbell to move. Seconder. I don't know who that was, I think it was Councillor Honour. Four. Okay. Carry. 15.4 Registration Schedule Fees. Recommendation of Council adopt the Dog Registration Schedule Fees 2021-2022. Councillor Moore, second place. Councillor Cassidy, four. Against, carried. Thank you. 15.5 Request for permission to restore grave. I found this quite interesting, this one. Talking about a small fence to be erected around the grave so I can finish the restoration and preserve it for another 20 years. I think my concerns was, are we going to have, could this set a precedent for other graves that are not in such a good state either? So it's open for a discussion around the table. Councillor Archer and then Hora.
Yeah, I think the recommendations are quite good in terms of what's been put forward by council, but I think really what we need to do is consult the cemetery committee who are dealing with this every day and before any approval were given that be taken into account as part of our motion, so we would add, given the support of the cemetery committee, I'm personally uncomfortable with the erection of a fence around the grave at this site, because it's where there's generally a gathering of people at services when the church spills. So we need to know that that was sensitive and things, but I would need to be guided by the cemetery committee who are charged with providing council advice on this. So there's two ways to look at it. One is we just accept the report given the consideration of the cemetery committee, or that we go back and seek their advice. And I think that's probably the best move at this stage prior to giving consent.
Okay, thank you, Councillor
Roy. Councillor Archer, agree with that place that we've covered off in my question. I was going to say, what are the rules about building fences around? Are there any rules?
But we discussed this between staff and the deal with the cemetery committee, and we can remember last time the cemetery committee actually met.
They went into
it. Yes.
They did, but since then there's been a discussion with Cathy, and she's currently going to get a cemetery committee meeting up and running. And we'll probably need to have expressions of interest out for people to join the committee. So it's sort of in the mix at the moment.
So if I can through the table, so the question would be, Mayor, do we recommend this one, or do we basically defer it until such times as a committee is elected to have that discussion? I don't know how much of a hurry those people are in. Obviously, it's what I mean, 100 years. It's
not a hurry. We have a fence around it. Yeah. We have a fence around it.
That's what I think.
So it could be that the recommendation is that the works would be granted, but as to the fence, maybe.
Leave the fence to the recommendation of the committee.
Yeah, maybe that's the way it goes.
Well, I'm hearing from council, which the committee will probably would like to know council's point of view, actually. I've heard three councillors say they wouldn't support the fence.
I'm not saying I wouldn't support it. I would just support it if it was supported by the committee or the community.
By the committee, yeah.
I don't really have a personal view, but I'm just a bit worried that not the area that we should have a fence around.
So if I can through the chair.
I'm a bit torn about this whole thing. You know, I think it would be okay to perhaps redo the lettering on the stone and so forth, but you know, you look at old graveyards around the world, and I don't know, I don't want to say something romantic about it, but there's something about old graveyards and the tombstones that are this way and that way. You look at the, you know, photos and many movies that we've seen that these old graveyards are in. I am not sure I see the point or the purpose of, you know, putting concrete slabs and digging up, and are they going to be sure they're not actually going to be digging up any remains, if there's any remains there at all? I just think that, I think it's too much, you know, and then we might as well have a campaign to do all the graves in the graveyard, you know. It's beyond, I just don't think it's necessary.
What you're saying is a change in nature of the graveyard.
Yes.
I agree a certain amount, but I think that some of the graves, once a stone leans so far, it's going to fall on the ground and then it's a shame.
Yeah,
I think the only way is to sensitively concrete under the ground so they can't see it. And I think it'll be, you could say you shouldn't re-engrave them, but then again, you won't know who anyone is.
That was the intention.
But I don't think a fence would be a good idea because we'd only grow weeds. As soon as you fence it off, it would just grow weeds.
Yeah. So can we go back to where I think it's Councillor Archer was saying, hand it to the cemetery committee.
I think, Mayor, that would be the way to go, to defer this decision until the committee is formed. And let the committee make a recommendation to come back to council.
To the not form, they are formed, but they need a few extra minutes. Could you like to make a motion to that effect?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that, Mayor.
that in light of council's desire that the any changes be in keeping and with the existing cemetery, and also that we are better informed, that we defer discussion on the proposal for permission to restore the grave until the cemetery committee can be reconvened and provide council with further advice.
Sounds good, Bruce. Thank you. Those for that motion? Is there anyone against it?
I'd also point out, Mayor, that, you know, that October is the date when this lady was married. That doesn't necessarily mean the nation passed away. It's good that that's a stimulus for this work to be done. But that yes, the committee should meet as soon as we sensibly can. But because the lady married in October 1821 doesn't necessarily mean that's a date that council need to have the permission granted. It's not a date that she passed away, or it's, she may well have, gone to the park on November, or she might have been there. I don't see a linkage there with the date, so the council's got time, in my view, to consider it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
do you need to get Kathy to meeting going on there,
Lady? Yeah.
Thank you for that, councillor. So, the recommendation is to take the question up. 15.6, Boston Caravan Park proposed upgrade. In February 2021, ordinary meeting of council, this matter was discussed with the following motion passed. Moved by Deputy Mayor Allwright and seconded by Councillor Cassidy. The costings be obtained for the repair of the existing tennis court and to construct a new tennis court at the Boston Recreation Ground. And the councillor Dave Orr from the manager of the Development and Environmental Services should prepare a concept plan for the redevelopment of the Bothell Caravan Park. Councillor Orr and manager of Development of Environmental Services met a designer on site to discuss options. Council is now in receipt of a concept plan which is attached. The other thing I'd like to say before we kick off is I think we should have, I think we've gone around this a little bit the wrong way, we should have all had an on-site meeting as well. Councillor Cassidy.
In reading this, the costings be obtained for the repair of the existing tennis court and constructing the tennis court, I think this is a little bit shy here. Also, we needed to know the costings to build the road into the back of the caravan park. There was a heck of a lot more that we needed to know. I don't know if Graham has got all of that, all those numbers and details, but for the project that was proposed, there was a lot of work that needed to be done, including demolition of the existing tennis court. All of that was supposed to be costed versus resurfacing or redoing the existing tennis court versus relocating and building a new tennis court at the rec grounds. So if Graham has got all of those costings, that would be good to know. That's what we actually approved, all the costings, not just a bit of it. That's exactly what I wrote down in my notes.
Through the chair, with all respect, I'm reading down here that we only had to get a concept plan drawn up. The costing was just for the tennis courts, which is adjacent, so I don't know whether I'm reading it wrong. So.
Well, the costings, this says in this motion, the costings be obtained for the repair of the existing tennis court.
Mayor, I'm pretty sure that Jonathan has the right.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, will I?
Sorry.
I suggest we defer making any decision or having a discussion on this until next council meeting, because we will get Bothwell. We could walk over to the caravan park, have a look around. If all the councillors are unaware of what's proposed over there, can have a look here. Secondly, we will at that stage have prices to repair the existing tennis court as against providing dismantling it and putting a road through there. I think that would be the way to go for us.
Thank you. Then are you going to put that in the motion?
Yeah, I'm quite happy to put a motion if we just defer decision on this until next council meeting and have an on-site meeting.
I think I'd on-site meeting. Sorry?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, so that's what I've done before. Second by Councillor Campbell. Those for that motion. Is there anyone against that motion?
Just wondering here whether the costings are going to be provided to us prior to the meeting or at the meeting or
prior to the meeting.
Yeah.
I think it should be prior to the meeting. So that will defer until we have the on-site meeting on the council meeting, will we not?
So it should be the 15th.
No, that was carried, wasn't it? Yes. Would you against it?
Provisionally. I just want to be sure that we know all of the costings. Would it be fair to know the costings to build the road into the back of the caravan park to upgrade the caravan park? I mean, we need to know. We'll spend right here as well.
I haven't put that in the motion. I just got to go back to Graham with regard to this. I mean, he's got more than enough on his plate at the present time, whether he's going to have time to prepare the costings for this by next meeting. I mean, that, a lot depends on that decision.
If I can, through the chair, the short answer to that would be no.
That's right.
You're talking engineer designs to come and have a look at that, and I'm not prepared to ask engineers to come up at this stage without having a good look at the concept plan, because I know that at the moment it's stalled up and it's sitting on the fence. Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? If I have to pay someone to come up and do all these costings, work out engineering plans and that type of thing, and then it doesn't happen, I'm just wasting everybody's time, myself and including professionals. I would rather that we get it to the point where we take a visit over and we have a look at it, then if it comes back to council and the council say no, well, that's good. We walk away from it. If they say yes, well, then I can work on costings.
So we go back to the on-site meeting. Councillor Cassidy.
So, again, I need to reiterate that we need to know, if we're going to have a plan, if we're going to even vote on this whole thing, we need to know how much it's going to cost in total. We just can't vote on this and say, yeah, let's just do it, and then, have all these costs added on to build roads, demolish the old tennis court, to build a new one. All that's going to cost money, and where it's going to come from. We need to know how much it's going to cost.
Did Council agree with the design of the wall that we don't want to enter stage?
Well, I think we're jumping the gun with the design. I think we're going to go back to Councillor Paul's motion. We can't remember the exact word of Councillor Paul, I've lost it.
That we defer a decision on this matter until the next council meeting in Boswell, where we can have on-site meeting.
On-site, yes. And that was moved by Councillor Paul, second by Councillor Campbell and carried.
No, it wasn't carried.
Who said against? I didn't hear anyone say against.
I was against that motion.
Who was against that motion?
I didn't realise that it was a motion. I was put that way.
It is a motion.
Ah.
So who's against that motion?
Yeah, absolutely. We need all the facts and figures, Mayor. I don't agree with Graham in terms of the costing.
No, we're not agreeing with the terms. We're going for an on-site. Nothing else is...
Oh, absolutely. We're not making a decision the next meeting without that.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
We're not making a decision today.
Not today. In the next meeting. Jim's motion is that we consider it the next meeting.
No. We have an on-site meeting. We take all the councillors over there. Have a look at what is proposed. Graham and I can explain what we intend to do. Then it's a concept plan.
And
there will be no costings. It will be a decision from council at that point as to, yes, it looks like it might be interesting to do go ahead with, or no, we knock it on the head. We rebound the tennis court, leave it as it is. We would like all the councillors to come and inspect what we plan to do.
And I think that's the way to go, and then we talk if that goes through, okay, the councillors can discuss it further. So
Was there anyone against that motion?
I'm against it unless we include crossings, and we need four crossings.
We can't have crossings until we get an engineer with one hearing. That would be the way to go, remember?
Correct.
So, we're looking at the site, we're looking at the port itself.
I understand all of that stuff. On the day that we all show up there.
Yep.
Madam Mayor.
I'm just going on
the day that we all show up there, you know, Graham should be able to point and say it's going to cost this much to demolish that or resurface it. It's going to cost that much to build that road, and we're going to build that road starting from there all the way over there. We're going to do this, do that, so forth. All that stuff should be laid out in the plan. And we should know exactly how much it costs, so then we go back to the council table, and then we sit around and we decide what we're going to do and what we're going to spend. Are we going to do this project or not, based on the total cost of the options?
Welcome to the Works and Services Manager. Do you have any idea of the cost for the repair of the tennis court to start with, Jason?
To raise over the existing court there?
The existing.
I'll give the same, actually, the price. I'm not quite sure how long that was now, but 4th of October last year, I had a quote which was $34,000 plus GST to refurbish the existing court surface. So that's the fences is to remain the same. I mean, I suppose that there is a possibility that with refurbishing that existing court that they may crack or move or default later on. There is that possibility because that was to basically put a surface like that on the existing court, so it's an artificial. That was the existing court that they put it on.
Okay.
Okay. So where I think that existing court's more grass court, where this one above was at the existing surface is hot mix asphalt. So it has to be dug out and compacted material in there and then resurfaced or an artificial surface over top of it. But even with the refurbishing of the one over at Hamilton, it has already cracked in places, so there is that possibility. You do have vegetation and trees down alongside the tennis court, which with the root material may cause trouble and leave the existing surface later on as well. There's no guarantee that it will work forever.
Thank you. And I mean, this is something that we can't just brush over and say yes or no to, because it is very important to the community. It's a very old icon of the community, so we need to be fairly serious about it. Councillor Logan.
I've played on that court years ago, and I play occasionally now, and there's more to playing tennis than just the court. Like there's the environment around you. So say a canteen, for example, or somewhere to have a steak and a catch up with your mates or something like that. One question that would be nice to know: does the Football Cricket Association over at the Oval, would they be happy for a court to be there, and then people in the tennis group or whatever to be able to pay a fee or whatever and use the pavilion, the kitchen type, you know, the facilities of the football ground, or would they say no, we don't want them coming over here or
it's a sports facility.
The sports facility, would the sports facility welcome a tennis court over there as well? And in which case it would probably be a better environment for that kind of tennis hall, I think.
It does go a bit further than that, because I can't remember how long ago, but there was a possibility of some money coming through for the old grandstand to be either repaired or added on to, and or a sporting complex put there. Now, that's going back a little while, but the dream wish of it all was to have a
a sporting complex over on the football ground, rec ground. So that was, do you have any of that?
That's the one of us, connecting the grandstand with the club rooms, basically, moving the kiosk.
Yeah, so that was something
that was. Shouldn't even look all up.
It was a couple of things, but that's something.
But is that a
Zora? Calcalora.
I think we're over on top of a big space. But at the end of the day, to answer Scott's question, I mean, there's a lot of ratepayers' money.
Yeah.
In that facility, it's open for the public.
Right, yeah.
So, I agree with you, that's a better spot for the tennis court, but let's go and have a look at the other one first.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we did, the council, the football club can't object. It's a council facility.
But anyway, it's part of the whole thing. It's not just the costing, it's also...
Yeah, the amenity of it all.
Yes, two more questions or comments. I would like to ask... I would like to ask when we all meet next council meeting over there for the on-site, is it possible that we could have Jason there as well for his expertise along with Graham?
Yes.
So that this way we can work through the plan. And also, I'd just like to ask Jason if he knows or has a figure on the top of his head how much it costs to demolish the old tennis court, bulldoze it, and to build that stretch of road that Graham's talking about. Do you happen to know?
To demolish the existing court would cost a lot. I mean, we can do that with the guys play that up in a couple of hours. So that's a huge cost, but to build the road,
Councillor Honour. To demolish it, we would need a public meeting at Gloucester.
Yeah, I agree.
Is a tennis court heritage listed because it's in the heritage precinct?
I doubt it. It needs to be checked on this.
Yeah.
But I do agree about a public meeting because I think you can't just go up and room up a tennis court if that's what's decided without community consultation.
There is enough room at the other, at the ground, to put one in.
There is.
Mm. There is, and it's not cutting down on parking.
Well, it'd have to.
Not would be it.
Yeah, there's
not a lot of parking up there at the moment. And someone was going up there to use the playground, and they had to go home or down to the public toilet because there was no toilets open up there.
Councillor
Bailey? I was just wondering whether there was room to put a tennis court open to at the football club, or do we have to go to Councillor Campbell again and buy some more ground there?
There is room there for a tennis court, netball court. It was a couple of years ago. We went up there and mentioned that there is room there. As to taking up parking, it doesn't take up, we'll take up some of the rules, but people don't generally park over a football game anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
if it was a bush
test weekend,
how much
room
would it take up for the tennis court?
The size of the tennis court?
Yeah, a little bit.
Doesn't
the
bush
test
take
up all the area? Yeah. Oh, the size of this hall? Approximately.
At least.
That's what
we
want.
Anyway, that's where, yeah, if it's something we can go and have a look at.
Yeah.
And I'll have the bus there, so we can go to one end to the other on the bus.
Put the motion there, we go to rent.
Yeah, hang on, can I just get something to you first? We have the on-site of the tennis court, and we can also have an on-site over at the rec ground. So, do we have something in place to cover all that? No, we don't.
Did we put that motion or what?
Yeah, it was... Councillor 4 and 4, the cover.
over the market.
Do we need to add to that that we also receive up the recreation bread?
That's all that needs to be added to that.
And apart from that, the motion next day is
yes. Yes.
But again, I'll
for it. Madam Mayor, we can change my vote for it. I'll accept that.
Accept that. So is there anyone against that motion? Please put your hand up. No. I need to know. Okay, that is carried now. Easy peasy. Okay, 15.47, proposed independent union at Ellendale. Now, Brian, do you want to speak to that, or does anyone?
Oh, I think we'll just open the floor, if you like.
Who wants to kick off? Go for the case.
Yes, I'd like to kick it off. If you guys would let me press through these 4 points that I'd like to make before you consider, I'd appreciate it. As our general manager had pointed out, we're going to draw down our cash reserves $3.413 million. And if we raise the rates only CPI plus 1%, that's $30,000. That's less than 1%, it's 0.87 actually. It'll take more than 10 years if we raise the rates CPI plus 10% to replace that $3.413 million. I would like to say that there's four residents who will be accommodated in Bothwell and in Ellendale to the tune of today's dollars, $1.8 million. And that's at the expense of 2,496 other ratepayers. I feel it's grossly unfair to the majority of ratepayers. My third point is, in Ouse, for example, and Bothwell, as another example, within walking distance, there are medical facilities, doctors, nurses. There's a pharmacy in Bothwell where folks can get their medications and so forth. And it's bulk billed for the medical facilities there in Bothwell and Ouse. My fourth point, I'm just hoping that we're doing this for the right reasons and not, you know, federal or state style pork barreling, you know, to garner votes thinking about next election. I think this money, it's a heck of a lot of money to be spending for four residents. I think if we can get grant money from the federal and state government up front before we entertain this, that would be good. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Thanks, Mayor. When we talked about this last month, was it not? I sort of apologise to council because Graham held up a map. I was looking at that. It turned out that that was a rec ground that was the equivalent to putting the units on the football ground at Bothwell, which obviously wasn't well received. The ground at the other next to it is a bit lower, very wet, council-owned land, and council need that land for when they sewer Ellendale, and that's the lowest point there, so it's obviously not there. So there's probably going to be a lot of grant money around, but we actually have to own some land for it. So I'd like to move that we investigate some options around Ellendale. We've had Graham's got a look at a couple with me, but I found another two potential sites which
the locals are happy to discuss with council about. This is not about getting ratepayers or people to donate land. They're not allowed to do that. This is a fair market price. So if we can buy some land and then we're open to grants, we can't, because the process of going through the subdivision and buying it is probably going to be, what, 6, 8, what did it take to get Bronte? A year?
Oh, well, we're still going for
probably a bit longer than that.
So, yeah,
it's going to be 12 months, basically.
Yeah, so it's going to be 12 months. There's going to be some serious grant money around, I suspect, and I was talking to Councillor Campbell last night, and that's what she believed. But I believe we need to have the land, and I'd like to move that we get council to investigate suitable land for the purpose of buying, building, for the purpose of independent living units at Hoonda. It's going to have to be around 4,000 square metres, which is an acre.
Alrighty.
I'll second that, man.
Alright.
This is not about building. This is just getting the land so we get a grant.
I understand
it. Just a grant. Now, Councillor Moore has hand up, then Councillor Cassidy.
I think, unfortunately, there hasn't been adequate discussion with regard to what we propose for independent living units. I have no problem, and I think it's something that council need to provide for our residents. However, I think that the approach we have taken so far is a little bit ad hoc, and I feel that what we should do is pull back from this at the moment, look into this as far as what we would like to do long term, not just to build four units. Long term, we should also look at grants that are going to be available from state and federal governments, because aged care is a problem, and this is something that we could zone into now and put a case together and get some finance for.
So, I would suggest, if I'm going to go along with this at all, is that we invest in Ellendale and scrub Bothell, because Bothell's already got independent living units. Bruce has already got them. It would help to mitigate some of this cost. $1.8 million out of our budget right now, plus all the other things that we want to do. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. We cannot. Like I said, if we raise our rate CPI plus 10%, it'll take 10 years to get that $3.413 million back.
Okay, well, I'll give you a couple of dot points and I'll put the motion forward.
Some further discussion if we may.
Okay, just a couple of dot points while we're going around discussing this. One, there is a demand for units in Ellendale. Two, there have already been elderly people have to move out of the district because there's nowhere for them to go. They've lost a partner or whatever, have to sell the house, nowhere to go, need to have a roof over their head, basically, and have had them leave the district. Ellendale community are quite excited about having those units because there are services. In fact, there's more services there than at Bothell. There are 3 lots of public service. There are community services. There is the coroner service. Even if you need your foot rest, they are there at the door no matter what day or whatever. And they have a 24-hour on-call response service. Now, we haven't even got that in Bothell. So, as far as services go, there are ample services. There is a shop that would even deliver groceries, but in fact, if we get a set of units closed, then those tenants can walk to the shop. So, you know, it's all there. All we have to do as a council is support them. And these people I'm talking about are tenants that have paid rates for years and years and years. So we are just doing a service to our community members. That's all this is about, is to look after our community. So I want you to keep that in mind, and I'll continue on with the conversation, and I think it was Councillor
say. So the motion was just to buy the land so we can get the grant.
Mm, yes.
It's not about a decision to build it.
No.
Like, but if you don't have any land, you can't apply for the grant.
Okay, but do we need to budget $1 million?
Budget
$500,000 or $250,000?
We don't have to spend the money. Like, every year we have a budget. We don't actually have to spend the money. It's not a legal requirement to spend the money just because it's in the budget. So this is about buying the land to set the council up to be able to do it. And the fact that it's in the budget, well, we talk about an acre. What's an acre going to cost? Who's the real estate agent? What's an acre going to cost in the, well, in the village?
20, 30 grand?
Look, in the village. In the village zone there, now, I would say anywhere between 50 to 100. In Ellendale now, if you're buying an acre, anywhere between 50 to 100.
I mean, we've got $6.5 million in the bank gathering dust.
But looking at, if we can through the chair, the block that we looked at yesterday up the avenue is, I would say, probably sitting on top of the list as number one. And that is 1.5 hectares on its own title.
How much do you figure?
It's not for sale.
No, it's not a loan that we're looking at.
Family.
But if it's on its own title, you don't have to do the subdivision. You just buy the title. Where if we go to a title where we've got to cut it down, then we have to subdivide that. That's where that weighting comes because of the period of the subdivision, blah, blah, blah. So it might be worth looking at.
So
you've got plenty of area for waste disposal, plenty of area for expansion in years to come, your long term, and it's 1.5 hectares of raised ground just off the avenue, water running past, and then it slopes away. It is probably a
nice position.
Yeah, it is, walking distance. It's probably the pick of the bunch at the minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's another one behind it too, which I've shown.
So can,
The intention of the motion there was to get council to investigate all options, not just one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The motion was that council investigate land options?
With the option to investigate with the intention to buy a suitable parcel of land.
A suitable parcel of land, okay. Yeah. Okay, so that is moved by Councillor Allwright, second by Councillor Bailey. I'm going to record the pause and get
started. Yeah, there's still two more people waiting to speak.
Well, I think we've discussed all enough, haven't we? Have we
spoken?
Councillor Archer?
Mayor, in terms of the decision-making process that we're going down, I think what we need to be doing with all these decisions is actually put in place a formal process where we look at a number of factors. One of them is community benefit. You know, what does council actually contribute? It is the decision that we're making, for instance, to provide a community benefit.
Didn't I just cover that?
Well, let me finish. We need to be looking at community benefit. We need to be looking at a number of hurdles that we should tick off in a box. You know, doesn't fit in with our strategic plan, is achieving linkages with, for instance, health plans, is achieving linkages with it's a completely different thing. I'm not talking necessarily about this, but pipe work somewhere, or there might be flood mitigation works or whatever. Does it fit in with the strategic plan where we're heading? And does it maintain our cash reserves? I'm completely of the different point of view to Councillor Allwright that we should be spending our cash reserves. They take a long time to accumulate. We're talking decades, and I would not like to see those cash reserves run down, and I'm very opposed to things that run the cash reserves down with exploring every other option first. And so in this term, does it tick the box for community benefit? Absolutely. You know, that's a good thing. I think most of us are very supportive of providing what services we can. Does it fit in with our health plans? Yes, I think it does. You know, there's some genuine and positive benefits there. But have we gone down the serious path of considering the cost-benefit analysis of this in my view, quite the opposite. You know, I think this is profligate expenditure. If we go down this path without looking at grant funding first, I certainly wouldn't want to be buying land, because my experience is, Charlie is a classic example. You know, you have a rotting park, you buy a block of land, you're committed to putting the toilet block up. You've locked yourself into the rest of the decision-making process. My view is we should not be doing that. We should
well, do that in March and then you can go for or against.
That's right, but you haven't let me finish my speech. And so what I'm saying is, in my view, this is profligate expenditure. It doesn't tick all the boxes for us. We need to be much more serious about looking at grant funding, and then part of the grant funding can be to the land acquisition. But I certainly wouldn't be putting 50, 100, who knows what land aside for something that doesn't tick all the other boxes.
Okay, so was there anyone else need?
I was just going to say, what I agree with Anthony I think it's good, but I think we need to have the funding side of it, and
I think when we're discussing all this, we need to actually discuss it in conjunction with independent living committee and also the Health and Wellbeing Committee. I think there's a lot of benefits to what we're proposing, whether it be Ellendale or Bothwell. But long term, if we do use some of the funds in conjunction with some grants, we are building up the assets of council.
Thank you. All right. So the motion was a council
investigate options to purchase suitable land at Ellendale.
Investigate with the intention of buying land suitable for independent
units. Right.
With the intention to buy.
And with the intention to buy. We've got that in the motion, but I don't have options to do.
Investigate the options to purchase land suitable for independent living units.
Okay, so are we clear on that motion? Okay, so.
Can I ask a question here?
I'm trying to.
I know.
A decision.
I just want to ask, you know, next. Maybe a June council meeting, we'll be asked to approve a budget, and you'll be wanting to know how much you are willing to raise rates above CPI. How much are you willing to accept? The rates being put up. And that's not just the rates, that's fees and levies and so on and so forth. There's a lot of people here that are doing it tough right now, especially with COVID. We're talking farmers, we're talking business owners and so forth. So just think before you vote.
Thank you. I'll go to the motion again now. The motion, the word with the motion, have got that new Brian?
No. Don't change it again.
Then would you word the motion somewhere? It's a very
simple thing. Council investigate options to purchase suitable land at Ellendale for independent living.
Is there anyone to hand over? Very good. Okay.
Just with regard to that, can I just say something on this? With regard to that, what is the decision then with regard to construction of units at Walford? Is this a go ahead or is it a stop? I mean, it's all part and parcel of this discussion. And the motion should cover that, whether we put all units on hold for the time being until we possibly purchase this land or take the option to buy this land at Ellendale. I think we should just cease all plans to do any construction work.
Did you want to add anything into your motion, Councillor Rob?
I don't see we ought to stop or slow the process down.
No, it's a
but we've got to formalise this because the land that council owns at Ellendale is the suitable, so it's sort of stand alone a lot. We've still got the motion from last month.
But that motion didn't didn't specify which year, it just said the council will fund. And it didn't say in the 21-22 budget, it just said council will fund, which I probably made previously.
I don't know what that means, but at the end of the day, it's in our strategic long-term plan, which we did.
Which is a 10-year plan.
That was my understanding of it. Yes.
Yeah, it's in our, just what Councillor Archer was saying, it's in that plan to do that.
Yes. Well, we haven't got the last plan back, have we? Because we only discussed what we wanted in the long term plan, we started at that workshop. And long term plan is a 10-year plan, so obviously we can't do everything the council wanted in year one.
No.
I thought we put the units in this.
Yeah, well, we did, but it's in on the list.
I think some of it is probably
but I think the comment today was put in this time.
Budget, they ticked off that.
And so, that's right, the budget, we're going through the process.
What's the outcome of all this? We need to alter that motion from last month, because the motion from last month landed the units on the red ground.
Yeah, that's right.
So what we've got to do, we don't have to do that.
No, if you make a new motion that contravenes that motion, then the new motion overturns that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can rescind that motion.
But we don't need to do anything, I don't believe. But Councillor Paul was wondering, so I mean, I don't believe we need to alter any arrangements. Just another motion of voice on that.
And if I can through the chair too, I mean, and there's those works at Bothwell that, because we already own that land, and I think everybody's in agreement that the block on the corner there near the church is where units can be built down the track, is that with the wishes of the council, we can put that infrastructure up the road and into the block, and it's sitting there with shovel ready to go, which is, you know, your sewer and your water and your power, they can be sitting there in the block, so that can be a small part of the bigger project that we can do ready to go. If we can get some funding, then being the units are ready to go, then the services are already there waiting to go.
So. All right. There's been a lot of discussion, so I'm going for against. I will record now for against the motion of Councillor Allwright to move that. Councillor Bailey seconds. For is obviously Councillor Allwright. Councillor Archer.
No.
Against is Councillor Archer. Councillor Bowden.
After we secure funding, then we can find a way.
For or against? Councillor
Four.
Councillor Four.
Councillor Kirsten. Sorry, I guess it.
Councillor Bowden.
You're on for it, then. One second.
Oh, sorry. Councillor
Campbell. I'm for investigating further.
Thank you. And myself is Core. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4. And 1, 2, 3, 4 against. So it goes through, the motion goes through.
If I can through the chair, this one we talked about possible toilets at Lake Crescent. On the map that's been shown is part of a subdivision that is still in process. That has still a bit of work to do because there was a lot of conditions on that DA that had to be met. So that one's still outstanding. So that red line that was passed on the map, which shows the road and the parking area down where they launched the boat, will eventually be handed over to council. But at this minute, it is not council's land as such. Doesn't mean that we couldn't get permission off the owners to commence anything, but just be aware at the moment, it doesn't belong to council. That's still a work in process, that one. So that's just for your information on that.
Okay.
Where's the thought? Comments?
Just to borrow till we find out the land.
It was up for information, basically, to say.
We've seen a coach, but I'm sure to put a call.
There was talk about possible sites for toilets, and one was said at Lake Crescent, which is down near the boat ramp. I still believe it should be Marston.
I'm not coming in up
to the land, so I don't
The shack owners for Lake Crescent
requested
something be done by council.
And, council owns that land, that's that bonus for us. So if it was funding available through Sport and Rec toilet, so that's a possibility that we could chase those ones.
So are we deferring or what
are we? It was only information there that was asked at last meeting, I think, about whether we had land.
Probably
for that land.
Yeah.
But if I can say that in our budget workshop, we set aside $100,000, so that probably ought to be just taken off until this is sorted out. That's what I feel, Brian.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask both Brian and yourself, what would it cost us a year to maintain the toilet at Lake Crescent? Then 20%.
For the toilet?
Yeah.
I suppose with a bit of cleaning.
Well, our operating budget for our PCs overall would be,
eight.
So, for all the public courts that are in the municipality at the moment, our operating budget for that just to maintain it would be roughly 80,000 or 90,000.
It would depend on whether you could get a loan to do the cleaning. If you were to travel from Bothwell up there, you know, 2-3 times a week, you'd probably get $300 a week.
We did have an interest in local doing cleaning because they think that local is cleaning up rubbish continuously, and there's even why the toilets were necessary because the species in them knows what around in the rubbish. So there's a health risk there if we want to get serious.
But there's some artists that want to be put back on some masks and their fisheries, absolutely, for those facilities. I mean, it just can't be the council's responsibility to have public courts at every location within the municipality.
Perhaps the council should write to Mars.
Look, that's a huge cost of us. Not only that, to supply materials, it's the vandalism that you receive in the toilets then, that you have to repair and maintain and fix.
My understanding is in Brighton, for instance, they've got two people Monday mornings every week go to the toilet box to repair vandalism on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a fairly ongoing cost for isolated blocks. Lake Crescent's a long way from anywhere, the baddies can get at it. You know, I'm concerned about building isolated toilets. I think they need to be attached to someone who takes ownership of them. They're close to existing residences or close to, a business, so it's like a shop or a garage or something like that, to ensure that.
Because over here, public toilets over here, there's been vandalism recently.
Oh, really?
The shower.
Right, they've got two people, every Monday, and usually half a Tuesday, who are just repairing damage. But, that's not like a country area like this, but it's a huge ongoing cost. So we do need to be really careful how we site these in terms of security.
Well, with the capital expenditure so far this year, the council's budget means to build, not only one, but possibly two locations of new toilets. It's just
huge.
And then all the ongoing costs, and then the cost for, the floor paper materials for these areas.
Before the fly fishing championship, in their fisheries went round and put up toilets at all the sites that they were using, so maybe they can see fit to put some at Lake Crescent.
If I can through the chair, basically that was hydro. Hydro didn't mind putting their hand up and, sort of getting the pats on the back, but they've walked away from there now.
So back to the mask.
I'm all for it. I reckon a letter basically from council, because I've said this before, that we're setting up toilets in areas that brings in tourism, you know, and that type of thing. And MAST basically takes our money from our regos with boats and fishing and all that type of thing. They've done the jetties and the ramps now. Put the facilities in. Ramps and jetties are already there. Let's, there's still money coming in. Let's try and push for that.
So, Grandma brings up some good points. So this is a hydro facility. Perhaps a council, we could move a motion to have a council write a letter to both hydro and inland fisheries.
I like questions on a hydro like.
Nah, that's, yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. So we've sort of got our, if you pick a lake, you've got to basically, the hydro one, not Great Lake, is owned by hydro. And you have inland fisheries that basically working with them, but they don't own the lake. Where you get Crescent that basically inland fisheries, parks look after that one. So we've just got a, MAST is mainly your target because of the water sports.
Perhaps we could write that letter then to inland fisheries and parks.
Yeah,
to,
I think so. I think so.
Okay.
Build the facility.
So you would like to move the motion that council write to move MAST?
Yes.
And anyone else?
Oh, look, we just pick out who the ownership of the lake, the land area, that type of thing.
There's still port facilities available, isn't it?
There are, and no one looks after them. That was National Park.
Who are you?
Parks and Wildlife.
I
just support and maybe financial assistance.
Yeah.
Support and financial assistance?
Yes.
In setting up these facilities. But yeah, Dago Point. Beautiful facility, but because of basically cutbacks in government, parks and wildlife basically walked away, and those facilities just aren't maintained. People go in there and camp, free camp, and that type of thing. It's
so
a pity.
If we could push the tourism agenda and the fly fishing championships and all this to sell it, you know, to see if they'll come up with some money.
So your motion, councillor, is council invite MAST and write to MAST and landowners requesting support and financial assistance for
to build the airport facility.
Public amenities, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll tell them we've already got a plan, we've already got a design drawn up and everything, it'll save them.
Yep, yeah, so that's...
I'll second that.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy moved. Councillor Bailey second. I saw that motion. Is there anyone against that motion? That is carried.
And if I can, through the chair, like, Great Lake, the biggest lake in Tasmania, fished all the time, but because the World Championships was on and they weren't fishing out of the Great Lake, they didn't come to it. Simple.
Okay, 15.9 is both in the hall. The GDS manager
can provide an update. Well, it's in a hall. I think we talked about whether we, my opinion is we should offload. I did find the file again, which goes back to June 2020, where we did send off and ask Mark Edwards to make some comments on whether or not we could get rid of the hook, as in to pass it back to Hydro. And the summary was, if the site was not public land, then the council could actually get a value and make the decision to sell as long as it was passed through council. But the arguing point is it public land? Even though it's a hall, is it public land? Because it was passed over, and public land comes under, basically, it provides health, recreation, amusements, sporting facilities for public use. Therefore, it could put a stopper on trying to sell it. But it's the definition of, it's a hall, is it public?
Is the hydro allowed to maintain public access, which is the same argument with the tower of Eden?
Yeah, so what I could sort of put, how do we go down the lines of if we wanted to pass it back to hydro, how do we do this? One is, yes, we would have to advertise as the sale of a council asset, basically. Does that mean that someone outside could come in?
The people that worked on the hydro scheme.
Well, it was the village itself.
The village, yeah.
And as the general manager, probably fill in spaces too when assets like the road and other assets were handed over to council.
Mm-hmm.
Parts of some building went with it. Don't ask me why. Should have just walked away from those, but parts of the building went, like it was the hall, and the arguing part is still the toilets, but then they kept the bar facilities, good move, and a few of the other old shops. So at that time though, I would assume that there were still workers in the area and the bar was being used, that type of thing, but the hall, no. So, it's remained in council's hands. Look, when David McMillan was there was a little bit of work done to it. There was some people using and that type of thing. To my knowledge now, it hasn't been used for years now. The roof's leaking, as I indicated to you, so we got some quotes on it, and there's some sitting in there that basically materials to do the roof was about 80 grand, then you can double that again for someone to come and do the works. So it's a big outlay for basically no use.
Okay, after discussion, what's your thoughts on
the council again? Oh, I just think that we pursue looking into it a bit more. I think we should try and get rid of it.
Yeah.
Councillor? Yeah, I think if the pubside's using the toilets and that, then there should be some negotiations with them to actually help regroup from that.
Particularly this battery of the nation project.
I was going to say, Councillor Archer. Yes, Councillor.
With the battery of the nation project happening next door, it might be Hydro's desire to be good corporate citizens and do a bit of maintenance in exchange for access to the toilet blocks. And I don't know what we would possibly sell it to them as in terms of a useful facility in regard. But I know that they're going to be desperate for accommodation, so it doesn't really fill that niche, but perhaps we can just get them as a community grant to do some work on it.
Well, it wouldn't be fair to sell it back to them. You'd have to give it back to
them. Yeah. I wouldn't be unreasonable.
I tend to agree that with this happening in the area, there is going to be the call for that. If we did give it back to Hydro, and there's nothing really to say that we can't give it back to Hydro, apart from they gave it to us and now it's classed as public use, is if it remained as a gymnasium, would it be that Hydro take it over but it still can be used by the public? Possibility in a writing. Or do they just do it up and it becomes accommodation, which you could do in that hall basically by just putting walls in it. Good one, because of the bike track that supposedly go through there.
It's just as right on the doorstep.
But I would like to think, let's go along the lines, and I probably liaise with Mark Edwards to see if there's going to be any sticky bits and pieces about trying to give it back to them. What we may face, so I would like just to probably make a recommendation that I continue to work with Mark just to find out the legal obligations of it, and if that comes back and we tick all the boxes, then we'll come back again and maybe make another motion.
Something out there. I have a possible solution. Since we can't sell that hole because it's public land, we could have an acorn lease. Maybe give them a 99-year lease on it. For a buck or a year or whatever the heck it is. And,
well, we can think bike track coming through, they've got general manager, if a mountain track comes back through, which we haven't picked up on for a long time.
What I'm suggesting is if we can't sell it, we could lease it. If we leased it to Hydro, then they would still be responsible for the maintenance of it.
So I
think we ought to explore every possible way of getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Every possible way.
If I can, I'll just read the last little bit that came from his letter, which basically said, based upon our brief discussion yesterday, there may be scope to argue that the site provides health, recreation, amusement, sport facilities for public use. and could be therefore be public land as per 177A1B. Further investigation is required if council indicates a desire to dispose of the site. So we'll take that. Yeah, and if you do that, and it's advertised as sale of council asset as public, you could not stop someone else putting in a bid for it, could you? That's the little iffy one. So I think we go down the line.
Well, you could say that the council intends to dispose of the waiting hall to the hydro.
Yeah.
And then people can object.
Yeah, so that's...
You've got to publish it twice.
Yeah.
Maybe it's fair because you've got to wait for the information.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you need to get at least get a copy of the title and see what the title says, because the title might say that you have to transfer it back to the Crown if you go to sell it.
Yeah.
You know, then you can work out is it public open space or not, and therefore you know the avenue. So I think you just...
To answer Adam back, it actually says in there that the transfer was tied to some form of agreement requiring council to transfer the land back to Hydro under certain circumstances. If this is such a document, council would have a record of it.
Yeah. So the title of the station, and you do use the Crown land transferred to the title that says if you go to sell the land, you have to transfer it back to the state because the state get the funds, not you.
Can we get that deferred until that information comes forward?
I'll do with Mark who that went a bit deeper, yes, for sure.
So can I have someone to move defer? Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Campbell, those four, any gun? No, okay, very good. Okay, that's good. 15.10, CES, reading the report, you can do the notice.
Any questions there, councillors?
Puppy dogs, two puppy dogs that are inbound.
This is the time we can ask Graham about when we can go back to
the house. Oh, we forgot that, didn't we? Councillor Campbell, far off.
Graham, I am freezing cold in these halls and I'm wondering when we can go back to the meeting room to grab
peace. My understanding is we can do it now. But in saying that, I will have to clear it through my and I'll get Bev to clarify it and send that out to the mayor and all councillors and the general manager.
Hopefully we'll have the next council meeting in the Botful Council.
No, my reasoning is that I think our health is more endangered by being so cold than at risk of catching COVID.
Look, if you read on the documents we sent out on the last ones, it's basically all facilities now are at 100%, which gives you your occupancy, okay, and to try and maintain that 1.5. So if this was 100, which is under your occupancy certificate, which says 100, but you're asked to maintain 1.5 if possible. So if you are having something, you may have to drop back to 74. But
thank you, Brad. And can you please check also with the government that we do or do not need our temperature
done? But I will check.
Okay. Hopefully we're looking forward to having a next council meeting in the Bolton Council Chambers.
That's all right.
Okay. Looks like it's all grown.
Thank you.
Thank you,
councillors.
And now we're going to the Works and Services Manager.
I did see him somewhere, ma'am.
Did you? I hope he gets shot through. No,
everybody's thrown off to bed.
Sorry. Well,
Yes.
Thanks, Brian.
1641, it's all the next work for the next 6 weeks in our own building. Okay, Jason, I'll get read out what this one's about. In our own building, Aurora Energy has recently been to the old school and has to do some mega upgrade. It became apparent that they could not proceed with the scheduled upgrade as the old switchboard is made of asbestos and needs to be changed over the work of the tree. One quote has been obtained from the Ben Jones Electrical, and I've just got here, I thought council had to have two quotes.
Will the quotes also include removal and disposal of the asbestos?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, you're allowed to remove anything under 10 square metres without a licence, so the contractor can do that and double wrap it and we'll take it now, have it to landfill.
While we're talking about that building, there seems to be a door off the underground, what do you call it, the foundation, you know, when you go in under, you can stop stuff there when the kids are at school. When you're driving along towards Glen Clyde, you look over this big square house.
Sure, it looks like a tractor. Getting under the floor.
It looks to be missing. Perhaps we can lock it up with this.
Yeah, we can do it.
Okay. And there's a typo there, isn't there, or shouldn't it be in the Dillon Valley and Central Highlands of Tasmania?
What's
it called? It's called Ann Highlands. Is it called Ann Highlands? Very good. Very tricky. So, thank you. The council endorses sustainable growth in agriculture and tourism in the Dillon and Highlands. A plan for economic recovery 2021-30. Moved by Councillor Campbell, second by Councillor Honour. Those for, any against, that is carried. Thank you, Ms. O'Kenney. Is lunch out there, Councillor? No, okay, we'll get moving. And I just want to say thank you to Joseph. Just good report, and it was good to have here in the cat management, etc. last time. 17.3 St Mary's Church and 73 Gretna. Some councillors went on an on-site visit, as you know. I'd just be interested to hear around the table your views. The church and the graveyard would need to stay together. I don't believe it can be separated.
on the one title. The cemetery cannot be closed for what, 50 years? Is it 50 years after the last interview? This is what I got from the on-site I'm sharing with you. The cemetery cannot be closed. It needs, the cemetery needs a lot of work, like the graves are really deteriorated. There's great big holes, rabbit burrows, you name it. The church quotes to be structurally safe was 57,000 under, I think it was under COVID, but I'm not an expert either. It would be more like 157.
Seemed too good to be true.
Yes, and you know, council need to be mindful that the other churches in the Central Islands as well. So I'm not sure where to go with this or what councillors feel, and I'll get your reports around the table. And we must be mindful of ratepayers' money we're talking about as well. Councillor Logan, what's your thoughts? You were at the office, aren't
you? Yes, very good. I personally don't think it's going to fall down for a long time. What they've done many years ago has worked well, but I actually think that maybe there could be a group formed locally over there that and the council could contribute a grant perhaps of something to help them do the minimal work to restore, to just to prevent falling down in the long run. And council maybe could do some maintenance in the grave.
So the other thing is, I mean, there's a fine there with the diocese, isn't there? Because it's probably over for 50 years, so to speak.
They still need to maintain it.
They need to maintain it. So wouldn't it be better if those people that are trying to get council to take it over, if they go to the diocese and ask the diocese to sell it to them cheap? You know what I'm saying? Very cheap. Is it a possibility? Because they were going to raise some money, like Boswell raised money. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head in some senses, but I'm open to all comments. I think
being a great player, that's to be a corporate body, really.
Yeah, okay.
Councillor O'Brien? There's a lot of statutory requirements around owning a cemetery. Council meets those statutory requirements. So the idea of selling it, or even if the church gave it to a community group, that community group wouldn't have those statutory requirements to meet the legal requirements of owning a cemetery. I think we could, the way I'm reading it, they wanted to spend that money on getting the cemetery to scratch. There's two or three condemned graves, and there's, they claim when we were down there that they're going to spend some money on the roof or something like that.
I think the was to stabilise the roof.
I'm with Scott, I don't think it's going to fall down, but I reckon if we could get community agreement from the Gretton people that we closed the church, and just so effectively we just got the cemetery like we got the cemetery model. We just closed it, no one allowed in it.
If council took it over and they closed the church, but you still need to make sure that it was safe, that there's no danger to anyone.
Well,
in the cemetery?
I don't know, so this isn't a discussion point, yeah. Tell them to use the 57,000 to put a barrier around, can't get in. This is a discussion point, but like, does it need discussing or whatever?
So if that's the case, can the diocese just let it fall down? Don't they have to be responsible as well?
That's why I thought the diocese should be kinder to these people that would like to keep the church.
Well, they want to sell it, though, don't they, Mary? Because they had that far as the church.
Yeah, they want to sell it like they do every other church, which is from them.
And because it's unsafe, that one.
But if no one takes it over, then the diocese has to keep it open for 50 years, after the last return. And when it's closed, they still have to maintain the cemetery. So they're going to take on the cost that you don't have to take on?
No. Yeah, but we've got, what I'm saying is that, because we already maintain a cemetery.
Oh, well, we do.
Well, we'll brush cut it and any clean up.
We do what we continue to do. Yeah.
But the risk is that if Diocese sells it to someone else, then the community might, well, they've still got access.
They still have to have access.
They've got access.
Cemetery can't tolerate.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give it to the people that want to keep it, the three families that want to keep it, I'll give it to them. But we have to think about, okay, where do we go from here? What's the best for them? And I think perhaps they could meet with the diocese and see if something can be arranged. Or agreed upon, and maybe they can fundraise, and we can support them having something at the Redman.
I don't see a community group making the statutory requirements of the city.
I'm not sure with this one.
So. Megan, suggest an approach might be that council are supportive of the community group taking this over. And it seems there is none. You know, I've had numerous discussions with the three people we met separately, just to see if they could not arrange to get not just themselves, but if you look, there's some quite prominent families who've got relations who've been interred there, and perhaps they can get some of those people to give them grant funds, to give them some assistance to do works on the church. So I think rather than make a decision today, we respond to many saying that the council at this stage is not of a mind to take over the facility as it is, but are happy to keep discussing with their group options as they become available that might make the assets still available to the community. We'll still do the maintenance to the level that we currently do on the cemetery there. But so we're not ruling out anything, because I'd like to see us take over the cemetery and have the building quarantined or repaired or put back in the state, and that's going to take a lot more capital, and it's not something I see as our role, but I'd love to be supportive of people trying to be in touch with the relatives, so that we basically write back to Penny and say thanks very much, but council is not of a mind to take over the assets as they stand now, but we're not excluding having further negotiations with them, and leave it at that. And it's up to them to go back to the dice saying, well, you know, the council won't take it on. I've all to your court church, what are your plans? because I don't...
Yeah.
Well, to my understanding, there was other buyers interested.
That's what I said, but Scott was advised that they needed to cover the pews.
Because the pews are heritage systems, they would have to put a false floor over the top of the pews, and I was looking there and I thought that would be so much expense and it's not very big.
Well, we need to know how much
ceiling room because of those.
Why would that gentleman make that statement?
Exactly. Yeah, we said there was a couple of things. We did ask if the council didn't take it over, what would happen?
No way.
Well, I think it'd be wonderful. Great if they do.
Because they still have to maintain it.
They've got to maintain the graveyard for 50 years. It's not like a lot of other churches. I think we're fortunate in, for instance, the Hamilton Cemetery, the Lothal one, where there is some isolation, some distance generally from most of the churches. Certainly the C of E one, not so much the Presbyterian one in Lothal, but there's isolation, so they could be looked at as a building in their own right. Whereas there, they built to the door. There is no public space around the church at all.
The Hamilton one's got the grave right up the back.
Right up the back as well.
Yeah, not an easy...
Not an easy... The council is not of a mind to take over the existing St. Mary's Church and Cemetery, but are prepared to continue with the maintenance that currently does in terms of cutting the grass and that sort of thing, day-to-day maintenance, and to the, is prepared to continue having discussions with the community group in regard to the fate of St Mary's Church, but the council at this stage is not prepared to take on the ownership or control of the church.
Did I have a second? Okay, those for that motion? Is there anyone against the motion? Okay. I think we'll break for lunch. I hear the lunch is here, and we'll come back at, what's the agenda one? Is that close enough for everyone?
Okay.
Yes?
What's that?
Agenda one, come back.
Yes.
Joe?
Two penalties, or penalty of two installments, because they need to get their rates notice by email, and there had been issues with their outgoing electronics. And the second one was the property itself.
So, and effectively that means that you've remitted that penalty.
Oh,
so those, all the motions, is there any against? That is carried. Good. 1746, table petition attached is a petition received by the General Manager on the 6th May 2021, pursuing that a section of road in the lake of Parsons, the Morass Bay Shacks. The Acting Works and Services Manager will provide a verbal report on the various returns of use available to the Council. The section of road has been highlighted in red on the map. Do you want to pick up from that,
Jason,
or are you not familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the area and what it's entailed, Madam Mayor. I just don't think that Council's in a position at the moment to be able to fulfil the requirements of what's been asked. I mean, we're currently still undertaking the work doing the ceiling works on Pelham Road. I think you'd be looking at probably 700,000, if not more, to between 700,000 and $1 million to do the roadworks there.
Thanks.
I mean, if you go off the what we've been spending at Pelham, obviously it's further away to gain material. The shacks are probably not right adjacent to the road. They're actually set back off the road a little bit. But yeah, I just don't think that we're in a position to be able to do it at the moment, Kevin. That's my opinion.
Okay, and there are other places like Victoria Valley, but there's been a doctor up there that said it's an issue for her over the years and nothing's been done, hasn't
it? That's right, and under our dust seal policy, they've got to contribute half if they wish for it to, for council to contribute anything to. Is that right, General Manager?
Oh, that's right, Okay. The recommendation is that Council note the petition received from Mr. Malcolm Scott and ask the Work Service Manager to a vehicle usage assessment of the road to take into account the average annual daily numbers and type of traffic using the road and provide a report to Council on the various alternatives available to overcome the dust problems on the section of road stated in the petition. In accordance with policy number 2014-21, alleviation of dust nuisance road use policy. Well, I think Jason's answered the question.
There's not really any other suitable methods for dust submission. That's long term. So, we've tried other material in different areas and, you know, it may last for a little while, but it's not a long term thing. Unfortunately, you know, the nature of an unsealed road, that can be a problem with us. So,
I would like to suggest that we write back there to Mr. Scott and let him know the cost of it. How much it would cost to seal that road. I think they need to understand that the council doesn't have that kind of money just lying around.
There's also Lake Crescent and members of the community around Moena and Victoria Valley and the D Lagoon that have requested this before by council and hasn't been undertaken.
I don't think that we necessarily need to address the setting of precedent because, you know, in their minds, you know, it's...
I don't have a really good comment on it. It's the word.
The council's not in a position to be able to do it.
So, your motion, Councillor Cassidy, was?
To write a letter to Mr. Malcolm Scott explaining what Jason has told us, especially with regard to the cost and that Council is not in a position to undertake the works based on the cost.
Is
that
a second
decision?
I know the
road
around
Todd's
Corners,
number
8,
dusty.
It's all
the same material. Is it? It
is
dusty. Is it? Wasn't dusty when I came. Must have been wet.
Yeah.
Can I have a second to that? Councillor Paul? Okay, those for that motion of Councillor Cassidy. Is there anyone against that motion?
So that's to write to...
That's to write to Mrs. Scott and explain that Council's not in the position to... not in the position to undertake the words due to cost. Due to cost.
Right, it's present for.
That's it, due to cost, yeah.
Do you want to wear any more of that? Do you want to go undertake the words at the present time?
I think we should just add that in it.
Due to cost. So that is
okay. What about
I don't think it's necessarily. I don't think it's necessarily a good idea to give them hope that we're going to undertake it in the future, unless we get a grant.
We shut the door in their face, you know. I mean,
well, it's the same as all over Central Island. We're not just picking them out.
Oh,
okay. We might add that this dust situation exists throughout Central Highlands Municipality on our road network, and we're in the same position. This way, we're not saying it's setting a precedent the way we are. You know,
yes. So you're happy with that?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You guys can fix
it. I want to listen to Mr. Scott explain that this dust situation occurs throughout the municipality, and council is not in a position to undertake the works due to cost.
That sounds great. Thank you. Good night.
Okay, it was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Paul, those four. Is there any against? That is carried. Thank you. 240.
Where is it?
Move, Councillor.
That's all right,
go ahead.
I guess there could be children from the Central Highlands that are attending.
It is. It's stated in there. Second of those.
It's okay.
Move by Councillor Paul, second by Councillor Bailey, that we have a donation of $240. Those four, is there any going? Carry. Country Women's Association, now I will say that I am a member of the Country Women's Association, but I will not gain anything by this at all. So I haven't declared anything there, I'm just letting you know that I am a member. It's a community grant application.
Councillor, can I move that we just don't need to discuss it? I think it's something we should do.
And I'll second that.
So you'll move Councillor Paul, you'll second Councillor Cassidy. We cover the $1,204.51.
Okay, sure.
$1,204.51. So there you are. Those four. Is there any gains?
No.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. Right, 17.9, annual comparison of the community application. The applicant, this is where Councillor Honour leaves the room. And they've requested 500, they've got a cost, a quote of 7,600.
No, I think it must be. Because we donate $500 to each church.
We do.
So if they have enough.
I don't think that's
the right. So this is just the application of that. Yeah, so we should.
We get $500 for every church.
Yeah.
But they
still apply, so.
Yes,
out of the bucket that's already. Yes. It's not a new bucket of money.
It's still.
They have raised funds to protect the church. It's $500. I think we could be a little bit more generous. They
have the next. Well, maybe they should. Yeah, maybe we should support that at $500 and talk to them to see what we can offer, how we can help them, rather than just say, "Oh, here's $1,000."
Well, they're asking for paying for the $500.
What do you think?
I think they've asked for $500. They
because the community grant policy is $500.
But could we just give them the $500 and then write and say, here's $500, but come and talk to us about how we can help you?
And
they could work with one of the local councillors to see what sort of things.
No, you can't do that. It needs to come round the table through the councillor, I think.
No. I'm talking as working with the council to work out what, or work with the general manager or someone, work out what might be an acceptable of it. Help, council can help.
Without knowing the situation, and we could ask Councillor Honour, but I would imagine if they needed more urgently, they possibly would have asked for more.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a conversation that we can
have. I think we need to have that.
I think we should ask Councillor Honour back in just for her input.
Yeah, but they just asked for 500. This is in the 500 and then asking to come and talk to us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be here for another.
The amount of recommendations
is
500
again. With the check.
I move that we give them the 500 without question. And if they were to come to us again, I wouldn't have a problem considering a little bit more, but we'll wait and see. I might not need any more.
Councillor.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, Councillor Campbell, is that you?
I move that we give them the $500 for the question that they've requested, and if they were to come to council with a further request, can we consider it at the time?
Yes, Councillor Campbell, I second that. Goes for, any against? That is carried. Okay, we need to go to the site committee item. Could I have an over into that room? Councillor Cassidy, Siegel, Councillor Barry, Paul Gates. Very good. Councillor, when we go through the subcommittee, can you give us a quick update on the Tazewater?
Thank you.
Yeah. That was meant to be a late agenda item within the meeting. 18.1 is Central Highlands to Tasmania Wildlife Group. You have done your reading on this one. I'm open for comment. It's to do with Robert Lewis from the Central Highlands Tasmania Wildlife Group, who's written about that we should be making amended application for a community grant from the Central Highlands Tasmania Wildlife Group. After feedback they received earlier this month on an earlier application concerning a grant from Wombat Main for awareness signage, they advise it is not possible for the Central Highlands Tasmania Wildlife Group to meet these requirements in any reasonable time frame at present. Council discussed their first application at the March Council meeting in the group of the following. Community Grant Application Central Island Tasmania Wildlife Group moved to Councillor Ball, second Councillor Bailey. The Council requests further information regarding the following: number of signs, type of size of proposed signage, the location of each proposed sign, approval for the property owner at each location, approval for state road for each sign on the Highlands Lakes Road, and Central Island Council planning approval for each sign. Carried the motion was the Central Highlands Tasmania Wildlife Group would therefore like to apply for another project, then to Park Run Pens for Auckland Wombat at the Bronte Park Care facility operated by Jenny and Shane Dobson, and two new training courses for wildlife carers, which would be held at the community centre in Miami. If this grant is successful, the Central Highlands Tasmania Wildlife Group would put on two additional courses between now and December 2021. Likely for smaller marsupials and potentially for birds, these are outside our current training program for Auckland and sick or injured large marsupials. So she goes on. Okay. So, where does Council want to go with this one?
How much is she actually asking for, Mayor?
$500
for some wombat and education program.
$1,000.
There's $500 on there.
$500.
It says $500 on here.
Deputy General Manager,
$1,000. $1,000 in the application, and that will go towards the pens and also the training course.
A
$2,000.
So
that was a previous grant, Jim. I misread it too.
Ah,
sorry. So we're hearing that it's $2,200.
$2,200.
$1,000.
$1,000. I'll move that to $15,000.
I'll second. Yeah,
I'll second.
I'll
move by Councillor Campbell, second by Councillor Cassidy, that we
donate
$1,000.
It really says 500 here. 8th of May 2021.
That's been on the last grade that it was by.
2021 is May.
But then you get a grade of 500, so we'll be
I just believe that we read this really carefully.
Can you share with us what's going on
there? That's the one they gave us,
$1,000. Where did this one come from, man? 8th of the 5th, 21.
The March one, that what Adam was showing me was the signs. This one here, on here, says 8th of the 5th, 2021, for wombat signs, $500. And we've agreed to give them 1,000.
Later in the year with an update on the progress of their project.
I'm just glad to see you here. Yeah? Okay, so there's the motion, and those for the motion? Is there anyone against the motion? It is not. That's it.
Contacted by another officer from Taswater. They are looking at sites, including some on our farm, to build a water storage for 90 megalitres of water for the township. They've calculated the Wattle water supply's reliability and need for water has been identified. 90 megs as being the one that ticks the boxes for the percentage that they need in storage. They've looked at sites that are going to cost millions of dollars. For the very small storages. They've even looked down to 30 megalitre sites all around the township, but a long way from the town. None of them are near the town. They're all several kilometres or more away. The one on ours would be six or 7 k's and they were proposing another pipeline down along the power line easement, the big transmission lines from Wofford Township, from Mont Martin's Wooden Bowden's front gate really, and there's all sorts of sites proposed there. And so I've gone back to them and said, now you are aware you've got this 60 megalitres that council's very keen for you to take up with Tas irrigation. Oh, that would be 30 megalitres short. Thanks very much. We might do that and take up the extra 30 megalitres, but it would be much easier if we could have that 90 megalitres in total in the one parcel. And so I went to Richard Hallett, who's the chairman of the Southern Highlands Irrigation Scheme, and he wrote a letter to all the irrigators asking if anyone was prepared to sell an additional 30 megalitres to make this viable, with the arrangement that they could lease it back most years, and it would be running 20 years at the most, that they would not have the 30 megs. And we've had one family come back and said yes, they would be prepared to sell 30 megalitres at a nominal sum, basically three, and just whatever it's costing them to buy the water to get Tas water over the line, so they have an excuse not to take up the other 60 megs, which is very generous of them. And so I've gone back to Tas water and said, you know, with this family are negotiating with them amongst family members, but they will find the extra 30 megs for you. Please go ahead and take up your Southern Highland water. Oh, TI now are reluctant to hand it over. So now the negotiation is between Tas Irrigation and Tas Water, that the water is still available. Of course it is, because it hasn't been sold and has been allocated in the system. So we need to get that over the line, and we need to get the arrangement in place for the extra 30 megs of water to get them to take up the secure Southern Highland scheme. My suggestion to them was, do both. Take up their Southern Highland water and invest in a storage so that you're completely independent for most years, because you've already budgeted in spending the money to build the storage. Southern Highland water is going to cost you, let's say, $1,100 a meg, next to nothing, 90 grand, and your budget is not in or there when they're spending millions on this proposal to store water. So that's my recommendation to them. What they'll do is anyone's business, I'm not sure. But it's just updating council that negotiations are ongoing. There's now been this discussion that council might need to get involved in with Tas Irrigation now to say, well, no, you hand the water over, fellas. I can see the Southern Block being the tap from their pipeline to township, because oh dear, they've got to turn the pipeline off to get the tap. Every irrigation scheme's got maintenance. Every irrigation scheme needs to be turned off at some time. Let's fit it there. You know, let's not incur extra cost. Just whack and they tap in, and it's going to significantly save them money, because the water that comes out of the Shannon is much cleaner than the water that's coming out of Lake Presbyterian. So they actually, their plan now is to put in an additional water treatment plant. And again, for a lot of money. So they're putting a new water treatment plant in Bottle to incorporate once they decide on the site for this proposed storage. And so I said to them, well, you know, I've been lobbied several times by people wanting an outlet where they can get water out of ours to be able to, in my case, I was approached by the people in that distillery, can you get us access to water, mate? We can't get it at public holidays and weekends, because the only outlet now is in the council works depot. For people who aren't familiar with it, there used to be one supplied by the Old Wattle Council on the top side of the road, which when Tas Water took over, they disconnected it, capped it, and so the only way that ratepayers in Wattle could be supplied with water was for council to open its depot up, which it does for firefighting purposes. Council very generously built a truck wash there years ago for the local carriers to wash their gear out, but the only water supply now for anyone to get water is within that works depot. Doesn't make sense for the council to be handing a key over to that to people willy-nilly, but they shouldn't have removed the old outlet. Why don't we make that available again as part, if they're going to upgrading the town's water supply and works, the time to put in an additional hydrant outlet is now. And it's, all they need to do is put the tap back on. The hydrant's still there under the ground, they just cap it off and done away with it. So I think near the down the track, once this gets a bit closer and we know they are going to build a new treatment plant, perhaps we should ask Tas Water to put in their project another outlet so that people can access water out of ours for firefighting purposes, for the use of industrial water that they use in their distillery for their whiskey production, those sort of things. Tas Water have got one available at Brighton, apparently, where you've got tokens. You go to the council office and you buy tokens, which allows you to take 1 megalitre per token. Let's set up a similar thing in Bothell. So we're not asking them to do it for free, but we are asking for water to be made available out of ours as part of a package of upgrades that they are doing.
like council's views on when we should ask them to be doing that. Should we write to them now? Should we do it as it gets closer? I don't have strong views. I just think we need to not let them get through to the keeper. It would be a good public service, really.
Sounds great.
This evening, that's a water supply that was capped off. Is that a potable water supply or not?
Yes, it's post the treatment plant on top of Barry Hill.
So, I think Taz Water, they just they circulated some kind of survey about their strategic plan going forward and so forth. So, perhaps this would be the time to write Taz Water, see Mike Brewster.
Yes.
Right on the letter about these.
The request to give our access out of ours. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. Yes.
So, I think, why not? We could at least maybe even invite him over to Waffle.
He was coming back to us in January and we haven't seen him. He's
coming back. Perhaps we could invite Mike Bruce over to Waffle council meeting. Next council meeting, he could come and perhaps Anthony could.
I don't think we need to meet Mark Brewster yet. I think we need to progress this extra 30 metres that one of the families is going to make available. Get that bedded down so we know that that's all done. And when they run
into another. Where was the other 60 coming from?
The Southern Highlands irrigation scheme, when it was put in, 60 megalitres of the total allocation of 5,500 was allocated for the township. Specifically, and the Valley family at the time said that they would only support the scheme if it was set aside for the Watts Township, very generously. And it hasn't happened. Now, they've been ducking and diving because Tasman wouldn't take it up. Now, TI, they don't like each other. There's this professional rivalry of some sort. But as councillors, we can insist they take the water up, and we have. Hence, all this negotiation is still going on. Otherwise, this would have died a death 2 years ago.
So, I guess I'm asking
you to do it from now. Well, I think Bob's idea of writing them now and saying, we understand you're going to do this upgrade of treatment works. Great, thanks very much. But in your plans, could you please put back in place a hydrant that was there previously and was capped off to allow the take of out of our water for community use? And council has no objection to Taz Water putting a metering device and charging for that water.
So I'm saying that we take on Councillor Cassidy's motion, and would you be able to work a draft for us and send to the General Manager if you wish I could sign it?
Yep.
Yep. How's that sound, Councillor Cassidy?
It sounds
so
good.
So you've moved that. Who seconded that? Councillor Ford? Those four? Is there any against? Okay, we'll get the ball rolling then. There's Councillor Archer and, we'll move from there.
Exactly, see what happens, because it's finally a positive move.
Deputy
General Manager, I'll just give councillors an update on the flood mitigation grant that we put in last year. Yep. We were not successful. We granted the top three priorities for the state, so we didn't get our two projects that we were looking for.
That's very disappointing, isn't it?
Well, funded a flood mitigation works at a school in
Collinsville. $2 million maximum. So, probably next year it comes around.
Yes, definitely. Okay, well, I think that concludes the council meeting at 1:27.
A lot higher level, and they had to come back.
There we go.
Next meeting.